The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. What'd I leave out? Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. Alongside, to my left, to your right, the great Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
I'm
the
good.
Great. Wow.
Yeah, you give me the great.
Wow. Appreciate that.
Lady Silkeman. Show's brought to you by ProfitX. So much to get into today. It's the Natty tonight, the national championship. UConn and Michigan. Not necessarily in that order. Michigan favored by, well, it was 7.5, 6.5 behind us at Circa. It's a touchdown. 7, exactly. Depending on where you look in the, you know, thereabouts. And I'm gonna do a lot of
mostly
this.
Sevens.
I'm gonna
there,
do a lot. I think I'm gonna do too much of this today. But if you recall, I painted that scenario last week where I said, well, imagine if Michigan, you know, goes back to how they looked back early in the season when they were here in Vegas and they beat Gonzaga by 40. They won a couple other games by 30. They didn't quite do that on Saturday, but you get the idea. What would the number be? And here's our answer. 7, 7.5, 6.5, somewhere in that pocket.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great call. You and I were playing that guessing game, and we had the look ahead lines, and we kind of said we thought it might be a little light, period. But then, especially if something like that happened, that's exactly what played out.
That's exactly what played out. And UConn trying to win their third title in 4 years. Greg Peterson will join us here momentarily on the show to discuss Wes Reynolds a little later on. We'll also talk Masters with Wes. Matt Brown and I going to have a little primetime action reunion. Do a Beating the Book Masters pod after the show today, which is a precursor to your Long Shots podcast on the Masters.
Let's go.
And Adam Burke will join us to discuss the national championship in Major League Baseball a little later on the show as well. We'll do April, March, April, most wins update. We'll do all that. We got to discuss the NBA awards market. My God. It's another one that I think I kind of foretold. We'll get into that momentarily. About the national championship. So one, I'm out of Survivor, but I still have my UConn ticket, 16-1.
Ooh, so what'd you end up doing with Survivor?
So Survivor, this is also the point about it. NCAA Survivor is the greatest thing ever. March Madness Survivor is the greatest thing ever. It's very different from NFL Survivor in several ways. We've discussed the main way, which is, it's a bracket, so you have to, unlike the NFL, you have to be concerned with who you have left at the end in a way that you don't necessarily in the NFL. You do in the NFL somewhat, but in the bracket format, you really have to have teams left available. And so what ends up happening, and I said this the last couple weeks, heading into the sweet, or after the Sweet 16, and then after the, you know, heading into the Final Four week, which is, you know, The pool happens to you at a certain point, especially if you're behind like I was. And I kept saying, even if I play it perfectly, I'm not sure I can get to the promised land. So I ended up, answering your question, I ended up playing Arizona on Saturday, hoping to save UConn for Monday night, because that was the only way from 30th place that I would be able to catapult ahead, because I knew most people would play at UConn then Arizona. Now, there's only 25 spots that cashed. Anybody else who gets to the end gets $100 just as, hey, way to go. You did what you could do.
Mm-hmm.
All I did by doing it that way was cost myself $100 by not doing that. Because if I had played at UConn, Arizona, I would not have advanced at all. And by the way, the pool is over. Nobody has anybody left tonight.
Really?
Everybody's used Michigan. Everybody's used UConn. So if I had played it the other way, right, my only choice was UConn, Arizona or Arizona, UConn. If I had played at UConn, Arizona, I still wouldn't have. I would have just gotten $100 for, hey, congratulations, you got to the end with everybody. The only way I could have catapulted into the top 10, by the way, I couldn't have won it. I would have gotten into the top 10 was by playing it the way I did, which was Arizona, UConn, which doesn't end up happening. So that's the difference. Also, that's the difference between the NCAA Survivor and NFL. NCAA Survivor can be determined in rounds 1 and 2, which is exactly what happened here, based on people getting ahead of you. In NFL Survivor, it doesn't get determined in week 5. or week four or week six or whatever. You have to keep playing and playing and playing. Well, so it's a fundamental difference between the two games. So there was really no, that's why I didn't talk about it much last week. Cause I'm like, first of all, nobody's in it with me. And secondly, I can't really win this.
Yeah. Fun as always, but I guess you didn't know it ahead of time, but you ended up making the right moves.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the only way you could have played it. Yeah. The only way you could have played it down the end.
It was so great. It's such a great contest. I recommend, again, I hope we talked it up enough this year heading into it that folks are pumped to play it next year. I do have that UConn ticket at 16-1. And Will asked me yesterday on the group chat, he's like, how are you going to do this? How are you going to play this? So for me, I had one future in college football. I had one future in college basketball. My one future in college football was Indiana. I got him at 10-1 midway through the season. I think it was after the Oregon game, if I'm not mistaken. 10-1. Going into the national championship, remember, though, Indiana was about a 7.5, 8-point favorite against Miami. Mm-hmm. So I took Miami plus the points. That is not a hedge, right? People refer to that as a hedge. That's not a hedge. A hedge, by definition, lowers the ceiling and raises the floor. That's not. I was just greedy. I wanted to win both, and I did. Had I played Miami on the money line, that's a hedge, mm-hmm. right? But I didn't do it that way. You could, if Miami doesn't cover it, you could have lowered your ceiling, but it didn't happen that way. I grabbed both. This is different. This, I have the dog, right? UConn is almost the exact same spread here in basketball, but, you know, 7.5, let's call it, consensus. UConn is the dog. So what do I do? So my answer to Will was, my ideal scenario is UConn takes a lead early. Takes a lead early, whatever the score is. By the way, it can't be too early because then it won't affect the number enough. But early and early-ish where the odds move, and so then I can money line. Because Michigan's a $3 favorite on the money line right now. Then the money line gets muted. Then I jump in live. And I will bet Michigan to recover my outlay. Now, the second part of that, which we don't talk about nearly enough when we're doing a show quietly here while sitting down with no game going on in the middle of the week before the game's actually happening, is, okay, if UConn does go up, let's say, I don't know what the score is, let's call it 20-13 with 9 minutes left in the first half, and then I get a favorable money line on Michigan, will I have the ability at that point to say to myself, don't get too cocky, buddy. I know you're thinking UConn's going to win this now.
Yeah.
Don't not do what you said you were going to do. And so I am promising myself that in that scenario, I will grab Michigan to at least grab my outlay so I don't lose money in any of this. That's my strategy. Now, if Michigan comes out of the gate and they, let's say, 20-0 and this game is over, well, too bad. Then too bad for me because I will just lose my bet. But Indiana was my only football bet. UConn is my only basketball bet.
Yeah, good on you.
I'd love to hit both of those.
Good on you, man. Will, Danny,
everybody, Dave Ross has it.
Yeah, I feel like everybody's got. I would be doing the exact same thing as you if I was in that situation. I just like you. Yeah, you could lay -300 before the game if you want to just lock this in, and I don't know, just watch the game, lock something in. But I would be doing the same thing you are.
Yeah, I could do that. I could. There's no harm in that. I'm just going to let it ride a little bit.
I would be doing the exact same thing. Even the amount that you're talking about buying off. Because at that point, right, you got to talk about UConn's up. You're already 10 minutes into the game or whatever it's going to be.
Not the greatest Final Four games, obviously. UConn beats Illinois, just in terms of like a fan perspective. UConn was for those of us, right, who had the UConn ticket. UConn beats Illinois 71-62. In a game that Illinois got as close as 4 late in that game, but they never got it to a one possession game. And I don't know when UConn would have their couple droughts in that game, Raftery and Hill were both sort of like, oh, UConn's not doing this. They're not doing that. To me, it was just, oh, they just stopped making shots. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were doing anything differently. I thought they played a brilliant game in winning that. And then Michigan, Arizona, which was dubbed as the main event, right? Was supposed to be the two best teams in basketball. Yeah, apparently not. Apparently Michigan is just exactly what they were in November at this point. And this is what makes this game tonight so fascinating. Will Michigan just roll the Huskies off the court, or will UConn be able to do what the three teams that beat Michigan this year were able to do? So the three teams that beat Michigan this year, Kelly, Wisconsin, Duke, and Purdue. Wisconsin shot 50% from the field in that game and 45.5% from behind the arc when they beat Michigan. Duke shot 45.5% from the field when they beat Michigan, out-rebounded Michigan by 12, and Purdue shot 52.6% from the field when they beat Michigan. So you have to have a game where you are shooting, if not lights out, just really, really well from the field. That's the first thing you got to do.
Yep.
To hold your own against this Wolverines team. Now, famously, of course, for those of a certain age, we remember 1985, considered one of the great upsets in basketball history. Really wasn't, because Villanova actually played Georgetown twice that year, if you were a Big East fan and you watched those games. But Villanova against Georgetown in 1985 shot 78.6% from the field and beat Georgetown by 2. So UConn doesn't have to be Villanova. By the way, no shot clock back then either. Or if there was, it was like a bigger shot clock. I can't remember the details in 1985. But just keep in mind, Villanova was 9 of 10 from the field in the second half. That's how different the game was at that point. So there had to have been a shot clock. No shot clock, rather. But UConn doesn't have to be that, but they got to be as efficient as Wisconsin, Duke, and Purdue were this year. Let's put it that way. So I don't think it's an impossibility. And if anybody can do it, it's Dan Hurley-led UConn team. And by the way, the formula, right, says Michigan. What's the only college that destroys the formula?
UConn.
Whether it's Kevin Ollie, whether it's Dan Hurley with the Sweet 16 provision, the 2014 UConn team in every which way, it's UConn. So if there's a team to bust the formula, it's this one.
Felt like I heard a lot about the Arizona physicality was going to get to Michigan, and that's what teams had done before that had beat them. We'll see UConn. Arizona anyway, never really had a chance.
Oops Peterson will talk to us about this coming up. NBA on the other side.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, and I shortchanged Victor Wembanyama. It's 4 out of 5 games against Thunder.
That's right.
4 out of 5. Sure, but vote the other way just on overall record. The college basketball season comes down to the championship game. One final opportunity to find an edge. If you're betting the title game, make sure you have the right information with VSiN Pro. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app. Championship matchup is covered on VSiN.com with expert best bets and betting trends so you can stay on top of every edge. And when the tournament ends, VSiN Pro keeps you covered with MLB and the NBA and NHL playoffs. Pardon me. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book. I'm going to Ron Burgundy through some tweets. What could go wrong? This is from Colin Murphy. Not a clean hedge, but you could lay the 3.5 in the first half. And if it doesn't cash, you'll likely have a much better money line price on Michigan for the game. Could be cheaper than -300. Or if it hits, just sit back with the winner. My head's already exploding on this. Or play first to 25 or 30 with Michigan. No, I'm just going to do it my way. I'll wait for.
Yeah.
See if UConn takes a lead.
We all get set in our ways, though.
Yeah.
I guess that the first half thing is an approach you can take.
Hedging, very, very personal thing.
Yep.
Johnny B, is Rookie of the Year not same as May Stafford MVP?
I don't know.
In the sense that what? That Stafford grabbed it late? Is that what you mean?
I don't know.
I
got a lot of confusing tweets this weekend about this, like comparing it to other things.
Yeah.
I was like,
do you mean that May had a surge in the market late, but it was all for naught kind of thing? Maybe that's what he means. Coach Brian, do you see a scenario
That was more of a thing, right?
Do you see a scenario where, do you see a scenario where Flagg and Knepel could end up as co-rookies of the year? Seemed like that's where it's heading. I put some pizza money on that over at Kalshi. I haven't seen any sports books with that option. Does Kalshi have a co?
They do.
Wow.
We got this question probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, Gil. I think it was on a weekend or something. Someone tweeted at me. That was like, if it was like 50 to 1, I don't know. And maybe you remember. I don't remember how this was voted on 20, 30 years ago. There has been very, very, I think we've had ties like twice, three times or something in the history of this award. It's very tough to get a tie, though, when you have 50, I think it's 50 voters for rookie of the year, 50 or 100, and you're, I mean, if you have 100 voters, they're picking one, two, for it to exactly land 50-50.
It's tough.
It's tough.
Yeah. It's tough. But an interesting bet nonetheless.
It's just, it's different out. If the voting process was, here's my number one is two guys, right? I'm giving it co-rookie of the year.
Right.
But people can't vote like that.
NCI95 Gambler, thanks for the future, Gil. Kelly not hedging the ticket, maybe looking in play to see if we can get plus money or plus points on Michigan. Otherwise, we ride till the end. We made it this far. He's got UConn at my same number, 16-1. Yeah, that's the strategery for me as well. Let's talk some Michigan-UConn with Greg Hoops Peterson, who joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81, his tribute to Anquan Boldin back in the day. Greg joins us now from his lair somewhere here in the desert. What are we looking at? A purple background today, Greg? Is that our choice?
We went blue today. Blue. We've got on a blue suit, so I went with the blue background. We always try to color code.
Oh, this might be a portent of what he's about to pick then, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. But then it doesn't clear it up?
In a little bit. Little bit, because I think Michigan is more associated with the blue. UConn, Michigan tonight, 7-point favorite are the Wolverines. 144 is the total. Before we get your thoughts on that, any takeaways from the semis themselves? Were you surprised by one more than the other?
Not really surprised that UConn was able to get the job done against Illinois. Typically, 3-point shooting just goes into the abyss when you have a football stadium that is converted for basketball. UConn has guarded the 3-point line well all season long. So them taking down Illinois was not a shock. Like, I thought whoever was going to win Arizona versus Michigan, I thought it was going to be like a 1 or 2 possession squeaker. I thought that it was going to be a nice close game, the de facto title game. That was not a de facto title game. That was an absolute beatdown that Michigan absolutely put on. And that's a big reason why I did land on Michigan in this game. You can't just unsee what you saw a few nights ago, because this very Arizona team went on the road, knocked off UConn earlier in the year, and Michigan just absolutely romped them in that game. Like, I thought that was going to be an incredibly competitive game. Arizona has not been embarrassed all season long. They had lost just 2 games overall, in overtime to Texas Tech and to Kansas on Big Monday, where they're quite literally 41-0 against Bill Self, and Arizona looked like a high school team out there. So, I mean, that's a big reason why I'm in on Michigan in this game. Even though Yaxel Lindeborg may not be 100%, they just have so much size down low. They do such a good job in terms of being able to control the paint. And if UConn has to settle for a lot of 3-point shots, I don't think that that's a forte of theirs, especially with Michigan also being one of the better 3-point shooting defenses in the country.
So Michigan laying the points regardless of Lindeborg's injury and what status he is playing, by the way, again, to clarify, but to see to what extent he's able to really be his full self, we shall see. It's one thing to hit a couple threes after your injury the other day. It's not like he was, tomahawk jamming and doing all kinds of more athletic things on the court. The total's 144. Are you playing that as well?
Yep, I'm in on the over. And I do think that this is a very correlated play, because if you think that UConn is going to be able to hold in there, you're likely banking on a slog. You're banking on them making this as slow as possible, because these two teams have completely different tempos. UConn is about 308th or so in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Michigan is a top 45 team in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Now, for Michigan, even with the Lindeborg injury, I think that they're going to be feeling right at home if they can get this game playing fast, if they're able to get those nice buckets down low in transition. And for UConn, they're looking to make this game as slow as possible. They would love it if there were only like 50 possessions or so in this game. So I do think that's very much correlated, and I do think that Michigan going to look to be able to crank up the tempo a little bit more. Michigan has gotten to 80-plus points in every single game here in the NCAA tournament. UConn has pretty much been playing exclusively unders, aside from that first-round game against Furman. So I do like the over in this spot with Michigan trying to be able to speed it up.
So Michigan and the over. Okay, let's close with a little two-part. Let's do a little sports talk radio, a little two-part sports talk radio question. And you're the perfect person, because if it's me, I'm going to go back to the 80s and talk about teams then. If Michigan wins this, in your lifetime, where does this team stack up against some of the greats?
Boy, that is a good question, because I still think that you have to put that Kentucky team that lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four up there, because they made the Final Four undefeated.
Yeah.
They didn't get the job done, but they still made it to the Final Four undefeated. So you have to give them a little bit of credit where it is due. And like that Zion Williamson Duke team, they didn't even make the Final Four, but that was a team that was stacked. The Duke team last year that did not make the national title game, they were stacked. They don't get the job done. I would say in my lifetime, it's a top 10 team, but I'm just not in the business of really comparing, and I would need to really go back, because it's not something I really take a lot of inventory of, to be honest.
Okay.
I'm more of a one game at a time, one day at a time sort of guy. So I would need to think back, like the 2018 Villanova team. That was a really good one with Jalen Brunson and the way that they just romped through the NCAA tournament. We saw UConn just 2 years ago absolutely roll through the NCAA tournament as well. So somewhere in the top 10, I would really need to think about it in terms of where I'd put it in the top 10.
Okay, all right. That's fair. Well, that ruins the second part of my question, because the second part, by the way, Charles Barkley said that he thinks this is the third team since he's been doing college basketball. He thinks this is the third in the group of the top three. The Kentucky team with Anthony Davis was one of them. I think he said the second UConn team also, the one that you're referring to. The second part of the question, and I will strike it from you because I don't want you to have to answer it if you don't feel comfortable, is if UConn wins it, right, it's three championships in 4 years. That's its own stratosphere. So the same question could apply to them. So we'll sort of ponder it as the day goes on. What it's so difficult to ask this in this day and age with players moving about so much. But as we look ahead to next year, since we're not going to have a chance to talk to you here anymore in the college basketball season, as we look ahead to next year, is there a team who, short of knowing their full roster, you feel like their core is such that you might keep an eye on them in the futures market?
TBD. Like, the biggest thing is we don't know how this litigation that came down over the weekend is going to be affecting things, because last year 2,500 players entered into the transfer portal. Like, it's not news when a player enters in the transfer portal. It's news when a player doesn't enter into the transfer portal in this day and age. So you completely need to know, all right, is this guy going to be entering into the NBA draft? Because like, I would be in on Arkansas if Darius Acuff was coming, or if Acuff was coming back to school. He's not coming back to school though. So like, it's a big giant TBD. I would not be tying up my money right now for about 12 or so months with this, because a lot of people did that with Purdue this last year, and that did not go well for the people I tied up their money for 12 months with Purdue. So I think the biggest thing is sit back, wait. You don't need to take a look at the futures market right now in college basketball. Let these guys make their decisions as to whether or not they're going to be going elsewhere. See what happens with the litigation that came down over the weekend and ponder it from there.
Greg Peterson on Michigan and on the over tonight in the national championship. Greg, enjoy. Thank you so much.
Always appreciate it. Thank you.
Greg Peterson, everybody. Hoops Peterson. Man's nickname is Hoops, for God's sake. Baseball update on March, April, and April markets next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game proudly brought to you by PropitX. If you're not on PropitX yet, what are you waiting on? Masters Week, perfect time to start. New users get a sign-up bonus up to $100 in bonus cash just for getting started with promo code VSINMM, as in March Madness. And right now, PropitX is running their Masters of Your Domain contest. During the Masters, make one play of $50 or more on any Masters market, win or lose, and earn an entry to win a $1,000 golf prize of your choice. Here's your choice. $1,000 round of golf, that's choice one. Choice two, $1,000 club of your choice, choice three, $1,000 gift card to any golf apparel brand. Win or lose, on your play, you're still in the running. Download the PropitX app, use promo code VSINMM, make your first purchase, earn that bonus, get in on the action at Augusta. Download PropitX today and use promo code VSINMM. We get tweets beating the book. These guys are all setting me straight. This is from, these aren't. Mike Rouse. Remember the days when you would have the national championship game, MLB opening day, and the Masters all during the same week? Yes, I do. I owe you S69. I have UConn 35-1 for $7. I made this bet on a dare. I'm a Michigan fan through and through. I'm hoping UConn gets out to a lead, cash out my ticket, and root for Michigan. You got to cash out that $7. Hey, this is a great swamp.
Made that bet on a dare.
On a dare. I dare you to bet $7 on UConn. Great Swami Gator says, it's the most bestest time of the year for golf fans. This Masters will be awesome. Weather looks great. For us golfers, it's like our Super Bowl. If I was limited to only one sports event to watch all year, it'd be this for me. You know, Great Swami Gator, you are not alone. It's up there. Is there anything better than Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just sitting on your couch?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Watching the Masters, just really, don't bother me.
It's fantastic.
Just bring me food or get myself some food. I want to watch the majesty. Chris Heath, the best year was when WrestleMania, Masters Round 4, and Easter all fell on the same day, sandwiched by the Final Four. WrestleMania on Easter. Hey, let's put WrestleMania on Easter.
Man.
Hoops by Hoots. Masters always the Thursday after the national championship because Jim Nance always used to talk about how busy of a week he had. You are correct. Hoops by Hoots, that's exactly right. That was Jim Nance's thing. What a life I have. I go from the national championship and I fly to Augusta for a tradition like any other. Hello, friends. Holy Buckeye, Kirk Chamberlain, Masters in pocket. He's got Obear 22-1, McIntyre 45-1, Adam Scott 80-1, Bryson DeChambeau 11-1. Also, I have the Reds today. More first five. Jinx? LOL. Hey, come on, man. Mikey P. For as long as I can remember, the Masters has always been after the men's Final Four. Everyone was always enthralled slash jealous of the quick turnaround Jim Nance had, going from calling the Natty on Monday, then going straight to Augusta. That's exactly right. So it's the Nance calendar proves it.
Yeah.
Yep. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what he did. David Allison. Alexander, where's the tennis place? You owe me. Kids need spring clothes after spring break. You know what? And we're going to do this in country clubbing. I handicap Monte Carlo. The men are now in Europe on the clay. There is no more beautiful tennis venue than Monte Carlo. I didn't like a single play today. Not a single play.
Yeah. You.
We'll be back at it tomorrow.
You, Drew, and I are supposed to go there after the Delray Beach Open.
That's right. Right after that, we go to Monte Carlo.
You want some WNBA breaking news?
Breaking news. Let's bring Wes Reynolds in for this. Wes Reynolds, who knows himself some women's basketball. Wes Reynolds, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, we'll learn this breaking news together.
Is coming from Taylor Rooks, who you see on NBA on Prime. Angel Reese headed to the Atlanta Dream, a trade between the Sky and Dream. She doesn't have any details, but yeah, they have agreed on a trade, according to her.
Wes, any reaction to that?
Well, not really a surprise because Angel Reese, it seemed like her and Chicago were kind of at an impasse, you know, with whether, you know, she sat out a couple games and just wasn't working out, and the Chicago Sky were really bad last year, so not surprised to see her necessarily on the move, but we are going to see, actually, we were talking before we came on air, guys, about how condensed the sports calendar is. It especially is in the WNBA, even if you're not a regular follower of it, because now you are having, because the labor agreement went a little bit of extra time, so now you have free agency, like really rapid here over like the next week or so. You have a trade market, obviously, with the Reese move to Atlanta. You have in college, you have the portal opening the day after UCLA cuts down the nets down there in Phoenix and wins the college national championship. And then they're going to be starting with exhibition season. So like we're getting really close here because they usually start this regular season in very early May, kind of when the NBA is really into the playoffs, like they're into kind of that second round, but everything is very condensed right now. So you're going to see a lot of these moves right now and a lot of big names moving to different places in the WNBA over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. What we're saying was it. So in the end, it wasn't the condensed for me, wasn't national championship, the Masters. The fact that the draft is only 2 weeks after the Masters, that feels like it usually was 3 weeks. And then the Derby falls on May 2nd this year. So that's compressed up. So it's this whole month is awesome. As great as football is, the stretch between March Madness all the way through the Derby is phenomenal. Real quick before we get off women's basketball, obviously the women had their Final Four as well. South Carolina breaks UConn's massive winning streak in the semis. Gino Auriemma does not handle it well after that game. It was kind of embarrassing. Not kind of, it was to me. They end up playing, South Carolina does, UCLA in the final, and then UCLA rolls South Carolina. Could you have predicted any of that?
I didn't think that they would roll them. I thought they certainly would be competitive. But going back to Friday, Gino bought that North Philly out of Don Staley. He absolutely did after the game. And Don Staley looked like she was more than ready to go with Gino Auriemma with how he behaved. And I even tweeted that out because Holly Rowe did the interview in the third quarter, at the end of the third quarter, and Gino was complaining how Don was cussing out the referees and they weren't getting any fouls called their way. And I had the tweet and tweeted the video out. That handshake's going to be pleasant. Little did I know that that's what it would turn into. But going into Sunday, seniors win. And what did Mike Bray, the former Notre Dame head coach, say? Get old, stay old. And that's what UCLA did. They had six seniors on that team and just absolutely took them apart. And you've got a couple people, speaking of condensed WNBA schedule, we're going to have the draft here. I believe it's next week that we're going to have that. So you're going to see Lauren Betts and Gabriela Yaquez go very early in that draft. So, doesn't stop in basketball, whether it's men's or women's right now.
Congratulations to our girl, Danielle Alvari, our primetime action co-host.
That's right.
UCLA winning the national championship. As far as tonight's game, UConn and Michigan. Michigan favored by 7, total 144. You, I am told, are not playing it either of those ways. How are you playing this?
Yeah, I'm playing Michigan, but I'm playing it through a different way. I'm playing it through the team total over 75.5. I think Michigan's the better team. I think the number is fair, but the Dan Hurley fear factor, I think, is absolutely real. I think I read he was like 10-0 on one day prep against the number. The guy's the best in the business. And there's a reason why, you know, he's getting talked with some of the all time greats, especially if he wins this one tonight. But UConn, what concerns me for them, and you saw what Michigan did on Saturday to Arizona, who's still, by the way, the number two defensive efficiency team, and Michigan scored 1.17 points per possession on them on Saturday. And that was even with a few minutes of walk-ons in at the end. So it could have been like 1.25, 1.3. What concerns me for UConn is they foul a lot. I think they're about in the 300s in terms of foul rate. They had 21 fouls against Illinois. Like, they got in the bonus very, very quickly. And Danny Hurley really had to coach very hard to kind of balance that foul trouble with some of his guys, and he did a great job. I just think Michigan can score at all three levels. They can score inside. They could. Lindeborg's a three-level guy. They could shoot the three. So that's where I think UConn could get into a little bit of trouble, where maybe Michigan's going to get this at a little bit faster pace than they want. And then the foul game, Michigan can absolutely live at the line. So I played the team total, and I'm not wanting to get in front of them. That being said, I don't want to lay big points against Danny Hurley in a big time game. So Michigan team total over 75.5.
I asked this earlier of Greg. I'll ask it of you. If Michigan wins this, where does this team rank for you? And the same could be said for UConn, right? If they win this, it's 3 out of 4. Where do they rank legacy-wise for you, if that happens?
Oof. Yeah, I would have to go a little bit more recency on that. They're probably, certainly maybe the best team in I think the last 10 or 15 years. I don't know if I'm ready to put them with like some of the great UCLA teams or the 76 Indiana team or anything like that. But this is a different game now. It's much harder to have a roster balance, with the NIL and with the portal. So it's much harder, I think, right now to win because you can't keep these guys together for very long.
For sure. And if Michigan wins, the reason I asked was Barkley said for him in the time that he's covered college hoops, which is obviously a short runway, but he said it was the Anthony Davis Kentucky team, the second UConn team, and this Michigan team. You'd put it up in that stratosphere as well?
I would. I probably would. Yeah, that Kentucky team is loaded with talent, and they got beat in the semifinals, coincidentally enough, in Indianapolis. So I think that that's a fair comparison for sure.
All right, Wes is going to hang with us for one more segment. We got to talk Masters with him. The all too early part of the week. Obviously, the long shots coming up later in the week with Kelly and Matt and Wes. We'll get Wes's preliminary thoughts on the Masters, the first of golf's majors, the most prestigious of them all. Next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The Masters is almost here. Can we put the Masters music underneath this, or is that copyright infringement stuff?
That's a great question. Probably the latter, but you know.
Masters is almost here, and if you think you know the field better than the average better, it's time to prove it. The VSiN High Stakes Masters Challenge on Splash Sports, that's Splash Sports, not Sports, is a $500 entry with $100,000 guaranteed fantasy tiers contest built specifically for golf bettors. Here's how it works. You draft six golfers, one from each tier of the field. Your top five scores count, and the lowest combined score across all four rounds wins. Your worst golfer gets dropped automatically, but missed cuts carry an eight-stroke penalty.
Ugh.
So roster construction matters. Entry closes April 9th, 8 a.m., so do not wait. That is Thursday morning. Don't wait. Head to splashsports.com/VSIN and use promo code VSIN for a 50% deposit match up to $100, a free $20 Quick Picks entry, and a 100% Quick Picks boost. Just go to splashsports.com/VSIN and use promo code VSIN.
Awesome contest.
Yeah,
Splash
man.
Does a great job. Highly, highly recommend you jumping in that. And yes, the music is copyrighted. So in theory, we could play a bit of it like right now. This is going to be fun television and radio rules for people at home. We could play it like right now, but not while we're selling something.
Oh, gotcha. Mm. Gotcha. Do you know that Jim Nance, his spot is his home at Pebble Beach, that when you enter the driveway or the entrance area, he plays the Masters music?
I have heard this. Yes, I've heard this.
Fantastic.
I was in Islesworth neighborhood, which people might remember from the Tiger Woods cart incident. Well, geez, the first cart incident, I guess I should say. Vince Carter lives there. I thought I maybe wandered over to Vince Carter's house. Driveway is made of encased basketballs. Like, from his career. I thought it was, like, the most badass thing ever.
Wow.
Like, this significant ball for this game, this significant ball. I was like, this is cool.
When he sells the house, do the basketballs stay?
Good question. I'm gonna assume that those go with him, but, man, imagine tearing up your whole driveway.
Stuart Carlin informs us once again, the Masters has followed the NCAA championship, and he uses Jim Nance as the reference point. Yes, he would call the championship game and travel to Augusta. John A. Cornell Jr. I knew someone would not. I knew there would be at least one person that wouldn't let the West 1976 Indiana reference go. He goes, Michigan would be a 10-point favorite over the 76 Indiana group. A different type of athlete today. They are the Pistons. Sorry. Why are the Pistons get jumped into that? Why they catch a stray?
I don't know.
I don't either. Wes Reynolds joins us now. Wes, you knew that was coming, right?
Oh, of course. Now, probably they would be the favorite. Because, look, sports science and sports nutrition has evolved over, like, the last five decades. So you would expect that a team of today would be favored over a team in 1976.
Yeah.
But the all-time greatest team of the last 50 years, who, by the way, will be honored in Indianapolis tonight for the 50-year anniversary, is the 76 Hoosiers, because they are the last undefeated team.
Yeah.
I mean, UCLA, John Wooden obviously had a couple in the late 60s. But, look, it's hard to go undefeated. We mentioned it with that Kentucky team that lost to Wisconsin in Indianapolis on that Saturday, a Final Four weekend. It's hard to do it now, but we'll see if the Wolverines are up in that tall of a class at the end of tonight.
Give me that starting five. I can name three. Kent Benson, Quinn Buckner, Scott May. Who are the other two?
Bobby Wilkerson was the fourth starter, and I believe it was Jim Thomas.
Oh, wow.
was the fifth starter for that Indiana Hoosier team. And they always say that the 75 team was actually better, but Scott May broke his arm and they lost to Kentucky in the regional final. So kind of a little known nugget, a great team that never obviously got that recognition.
Could you imagine Scott May and his 1976 lamb chop sideburns trying to check Yaxel Lindeborg tonight? That would be something. Okay, with the short shorts. To the Masters. The Masters. Tradition unlike any other. Wes, I know you're gonna add bets as the week goes on. You're gonna do long shots with Kelly and Matt here. Oh, by the way, what's the long shots whole broadcast format for the week? Are either of you capable of answering this?
There might be some things added, but 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow is when we will record our massive long shots episode. So it'll be out, you know, whenever Wyatt can get around to it after that. And then we'll see what happens later in the week. We might be doing a couple other things.
Okay.
Do I need to program my ring bot, by the way, like you were talking about Jim Nance earlier, to have that my ring bot at my home play the Masters music? I think I need to do that.
Yeah.
I think I definitely need to do that for all the people trying to sell me something. At least they get a pleasant form of music while I don't answer the door.
Well, to the extent that you're able to sort of tell us what you've bet so far, obviously you're going to add as the week goes on. What have you bet outright so far? And then what, and obviously most of this hasn't been posted yet, but what do you have an eye towards getting posted?
Yeah, a couple outrights I did bet. One was a good price that was actually at Caesars if you had that available. John Rahm was at 15-1 yesterday at Caesars, and he's as low as plus 850 at some places now. I think you could still get him like 10, 11, 12-ish to 1, but this is a guy, and it's a little bit of a leap of faith on a great player and a guy that's won here before. His average finish in the five events he's played this year on LIV, granted they've all been overseas, 2.4 is his average finish. He has won once and five times, but 2.4. So that tells me at least his game is in good shape and he feels confident. Now, is he going to relish being back on the big stage? You know, because he's been playing in the middle of the night and like, you know, whether it's South Africa or Australia or Saudi Arabia. Now he's back on the big stage. I think he's going to relish it. I think he's going to be excited to, you know, see all the eyeballs of the golf world on him where he's not playing in the middle of the night. So he is one I bet. Cameron Young, I got to go with the guy that was good to me at the Players Championship. His price has obviously been slashed. So you're going to see some of these folks that have the numbers that they've been betting for the last several months. You're going to see like 40 to 1 somebody has on Cameron Young. That's obviously not available in the market. So if you're just looking at this week, that is one I played. Matt Fitzpatrick, who was good to Kelly at the Valspar, is going to make my card. So I'm going to have probably what ends up being around close to 7 or 8 outright, just because I have a couple that were in pocket at numbers that aren't available now. But probably over the next day or so, that's where I'm going to get into like low debutant or the low nationality markets once those become a little bit more widely available.
Debutant favorite will be who again?
Chris Goddard up.
Should be Goddard up. I'll probably be betting it no matter what.
Just because you love him.
I'm high on Goddard up. Even for this event. This is one I even took an outright bet on him a couple months ago for the Masters, which, you know, never been done by a guy who's teed it up for the first time. Hey, Wes, real quick. I think this is going to be the most fascinating thing over the next couple days. We see it Scheffler, Rahm, DeChambeau, McIlroy, Oberg, Schauffele. Is that the order you would have the top of the board in right now?
I don't know if I would necessarily. I might put Oberg down there a couple spots, even though he was certainly in the mix at the Valero over the weekend and likely should have been the guy that won the Players and then just kind of gave it away. But there is some concern, Kelly, I think, with the back nine when his driver just kind of goes away from him. I think there's some real concern. So I don't know if I would have Oberg necessarily above Schauffele or above Cameron Young. Morikawa has obviously been the drifter. He's going to be the interesting guy in the betting market this week because obviously he's got the game and he's been playing well, but how is that back injury? And that is why you're now seeing where you got to gamble a little bit. You're going on a hunch with Morikawa because he can obviously play well here and has done so in the past. 33-1 on Colin Morikawa. I did not think that we would be getting those prices, but that injury factor is definitely real with him dropping out of the Valero last week.
All right, speed round, 3 questions. 1, is Scottie Scheffler priced too low? What should he be priced out if so?
I think it's relatively fair. Maybe you could make an argument that he could be 6-1. He's not played poorly. Like, we kind of think, because of the standard that he set last year, that he's played so poorly, he really hasn't. Just the approach numbers haven't been like off the charts historically good like they've been this year. But he does now have a second child. So does he have that little nappy factor there at Augusta? Right. Remember that happened 2 years ago, by the way, where they just had their first child, Bennett, and then he won the darn thing. So I'm not worried about his preparation or his frame of mind at all. So I think probably 550 is fair.
To the person who says, hey, Rory's got the monkey off his back. He got the career slam. He won the Masters last year. Boy, he could play free and fancy free, whatever the expression is. Why shouldn't I bet Rory to go back to back? You would say.
Well, he's dealing with his own back issue right now. Of course, he pulled out of the API and then really wasn't a factor in the players. And then we haven't had anybody to successfully defend the Masters title since Tiger did it in 2002. So that just doesn't happen. Like, remember we saw Rahm after the year he won, he finished like 45th or something, his worst finish ever. So maybe Rory can, you know, buck the tradition here. But I just think that's so hard when you're the returning champion and you're hosting the champions dinner and all that. You've got to be in like great form to do that.
Yeah. Last thing, will you have any exposure to Patrick Reed in the placement market?
I will, for sure. He's always there. One of the best scrambling around the green games in the whole entire game. I will absolutely have something on Reed.
Wes, can't wait to hear long shots. Appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. Wes Reynolds 1 on Twitter. We'll come back. Baseball, country club, on the way.